thanks for joining us here on the New Life Show, a series of educational talks with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. We'd like to invite you to join us on our search for love. Searching for love is our topic today. Be with us, Nitza. We're with you. Yeah, so today we'd like to embark on a journey of love. Let's put it this way. It is the most demanded product by humanity. It's something that we're in a constant search, pursue of, trying to find the place that on the one hand will excite us by being loved, but also the desire to love someone else, to love, to bestow. It's something that we feel very strongly among youngsters, but also among adults. We see that today it's kind of hard to find love, but even though people don't give up, there is as if a kind of a very special attraction. It's like magic. People are constantly looking for it. And after talking to many people that are searching, people part of which have already experienced previous relationships and even experienced hardships on these relationships, still there's always the desire to find love, to find that thing that will fulfill, excite. And this is what we'd like to talk about today. So maybe to start with the most fundamental question, we see that there is magic about love, something very appealing about it. What is that magic that we're truly ready to do almost anything in order to achieve? And we never do. It's unattainable. Because love, in truth, is a result of connection between our desire, which is our foundation, our fundamental element, and its fulfillment. In other words, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's called as a vessel, a kli, a desire, and the light is the fulfillment, because the creature is the desire and the creator is the fulfillment. And because we have to truly achieve this state to the fullest, where our desire will be filled by the upper fulfillment, and our desire will also reach that very level, the degree of the upper, so it will grow in quantity and especially in quality, and then that it would fill up with the upper fulfillment. And therefore, we're in a constant pursuit of it. Besides, we have to understand that we have to study the sources, because without that, we won't understand. We won't know what's going on here. There's such an important phenomenon that grabs everyone. No one can be free of it. And no one knows anything about it. Novels and books were written about it, and Hollywood movies, and whatnot. All of humanity is reviving around it. And no one knows what it actually is. It's because it all comes from the source of the higher force, the Creator, which has created the lower force as the creature, in order for the creature to want to come close to him and for them to love each other. It's as if something truly beautiful and good, and what could be greater than that? And it's so exciting that the higher force has created me and all of us, that we'll all come close to him and hug and will experience love. But the problem is that we don't understand this kind of love. It has to be true love. True love that maybe everyone dreams about it, especially women. They feel a greater need for it. But they don't know what true love is either. But they feel it more than men. True love is that I love the other, and not myself. What does it mean, and not myself? That I fill the other, and not that I'm being filled up by the other, through the other. Meaning we're not talking about sex here. We're talking about wanting to feel all of the desires of the other and to find contentment in his fulfillment. That means that I love someone else. That's love. And this kind of love is not necessarily towards a man or a woman, but whoever fills the other, he is called the male, and the one receiving is called the woman. And maybe it's the complete opposite of our physiology, meaning there's a principle here. It's a spiritual principle, like male and female, which is above our bodies. And therefore, if we understand that in order to achieve this, in order to truly love the other, we have to rise above our ego, in order to truly reach love, then here we already have a problem. To rise above the ego, it means that I no longer love the other because, suppose, it makes me feel good, or it's tasty, or it gives me some kind of a satisfaction. I don't look at the face or legs she has, or the hair, the ears. Suppose if we're talking about external discernments or internal discernments, what kind of character does she have or something? No, I look just at one thing. How can I fulfill her above all of my personal attitude towards her, which is an egoistic attitude? And what does it mean towards her? It could also be a man. And so, for me, regardless of who that is, the other person could be that object which I come to love. And therefore, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we talk about love of friends, meaning that we conclude together with the friends that now we will develop relations of love between us. And of course, God forbid, we're not talking about sexual relations here or something, but it means that everyone is willing to open up his desire for the friend to fulfill him, because every friend opens his desire for me to fulfill him. And then we will have reciprocal love. And this reciprocal love isn't a one-way love, but it's reciprocal. And this is called adhesion, where then we're adhered to each other. I'm within his internality by filling him, and he is in my internality by fulfilling me. And so there is no difference between men, women in our world, but all of us start connecting this way. And there's no connection with our animalistic body, meaning it has nothing to do with the body, it has nothing to do with signs that make us man or woman. So there's the element of the one who loves and the one who is being loved. Each one of us has to be both the receiver and also the giver, regardless of gender. Now, if we're talking about this kind of form, then we have to start thinking about the vast preparation that we have to undergo in order to reach this kind of love, how to open ourselves up in order to know how to see the other, how to rise above my own interests towards the other, egoistic interest in different ways and forms, men, women, regardless. But especially, how do I rise above my ego wanting to enjoy the whole world and preferring to delight the whole world, bestowing onto the entire world. And here there's a question. Then, what does love really mean? Is there a place for it in our world? No, there isn't. Only in the upper world, when we rise above our egoistic calculations and we start filling the other and enjoying it. So, how will I enjoy fulfilling 8 billion people? It says so. Love thy neighbor as thyself. What is this? Love the other. It means that I love the other more than I love myself. Just like now, I love myself more than I love the others. So that means as thyself. So in order to truly achieve love, we need some force which is above our nature, meaning the force of nature to correct my nature. Just as nature has created me and gave power to my ego, to my desire to love myself, the very same way I can demand from nature, by the way, Elohim, the Creator, in Gematria, and its numerical value equals nature. So when we turn to nature to demand our correction, we're turning to the Creator. It's an aspect of nature. It's its manifestation. What is it exactly that we correct? I want to correct myself such that I will love the other without any personal interest for myself with respect to him. Whether I feel good as a result, bad as a result, I want to be above that. Why? Because you want to be loved this way too. You, as a small egoist, what do you want? You're thinking, I want for the friends to love me as I am. That's it. As bad as I am, as dirty, as really stinking of my ego, for them to love me as I am.
No.
And so is it good or not for them to love me as I am? And it's opposite to what you just said. What? Of course I want for them to love me as I am. Every person wants that. Okay, so how do you do that? Yeah, but you've described the opposite. You said that not that I want to be loved as I am, that this is something that I completely understand, but that I want to correct myself to an extent where I love the others even though they seem stinky and all their qualities. Love him as he is. Yes. Just like you want to be loved that way, so you should make your love towards others the same. But this is something that I don't want, and this is why you need a correction. And the other will seem to you horrific with such obscene qualities. You'll suddenly discover that he hates you. And he did such things to you in the past. That really, I don't know. And you have to love him. I'll tell you what we can bring in here. Suppose that, suddenly you discover, and pardon for saying so, that he raped your mother. And I would have simply killed him. Or he did something to your daughter. Or you can create such scenarios here that, and you have to rise above it all. I think this is a bit heavy for me. Let's return to the things that I can kind of digest. No, because here we're talking about real love, and this demands correction over everything. In the meantime, this kind of love is not something that I'm missing, so if it's okay that we go back as you wish, I wanted to find out, you were talking about the correction, so now I, as a woman, if I correct myself, so what does it mean, that I'll succeed in loving my spouse as he is despite everything? or that I'll simply see that he is wonderful and great. Again, please? Again. We talked about a correction. So by asking for some kind of a correction now, what kind? That you want to love him. Love him as he is. So you answered it. So to love him as he is, it means that I'll keep on seeing him the way I see him in a bad light? This is a different question. If I'll love him, if I'll ask for correction, for a force from above that will come and help me to love him as he is, after I love him as he is, do I see him in a bad light and love him along with it, like it sometimes happens in our world? Right. Or that I'll suddenly see that he's good. Good. You see that he's good. That's called that love covers all crimes. It's like a mom sees no flaws in her baby. For her, he is the best, the brightest, the most beautiful. So there's a kind of a prerequisition here. It demands me to make some kind of an effort because I have to transcend. I see something that I don't like, and still I ask to like it even though that I don't. And after I perform this action, I suddenly see it as something good. This is the only way that you can achieve love, only through self-correction. So it won't help just seeing him as good now, but there is a prerequisition that I have to make an effort to rise above. No, no. To see that he is good, it's a lie. That's not what you're asking for. It's like to ignore the flaws, not to ignore, but to rise above. Rising above, it means not to erase them, not stop seeing them, but I want to love him as he is. Can you explain this a bit more? Because many times we have this tendency. I don't think you'll be able to realize it. Pardon me, but we're searching for love. So better talk about love of friends. There you can better understand it. Because in a relationship, until we start correcting these things, really correcting them between us, between all of us, we will not be able to reach the correction of our relationships. And therefore, all of our relationships are broken into pieces and will become ever more broken and will reach a state where the kids will kill their parents and the parents will eat their children, literally speaking. When we started the show, we said that we're searching for love. So when people search for love, they're looking for a relationship. They're looking for a materialistic, egoistic love. And they will never find rest in this aspect. So where can we find it? Only in love, which is above the ego. So where should I go look for it? Where can I find it? Within yourself. To find the love within myself. Yeah, exactly. Meaning I don't go out in order to find my love. No, you don't have to look for someone. The moment you understand how to come to true love, you have to look for someone that also, if it's a man, suppose, that also understands how to achieve true love. And it doesn't matter how you seem to each other externally. Then you'll come up to some wise man and tell him, Rabbi, I want to get married. I trust you to find me a fellow that together we could develop the right kind of relationship. Now you understand where does it come from that people got married this way? Yes, it means that both of the spouses want to find the love within them, which is above them. And therefore, they don't care about a person's appearance, about how he looks, but only about the willingness. A person's willingness for this kind of a relationship, reciprocal love, which is above all flaws, where they understand that each one of them has to correct himself. And to that extent, they come closer and connect. I know many young people that feel a very big hardship, even a great frustration, that they're not succeeding in truly finding love. They should stop demanding of the other, but they should try and find a person who understands them, specifically in regard to the building of love. And love, it consists only of concessions, where each concedes towards the other and enjoys it. That he doesn't demand the other to give him attention or something, but on the contrary, his pleasure is by constantly making concessions towards the other. Meaning the pleasure comes from making concession towards him and not that he made concessions towards me. What pleasure can one derive from making concessions? It means that you love that person. When you give something to your child, do you enjoy it? Yes, I do. Here. Why? Why? Look at yourself. You're crazy. Why are you giving? What's wrong with you? What? Explain why this, what's going on. I don't know how to explain. The same towards a woman. Could it be? It's also something. It's not your child, but still. You live with a woman, with a woman you love. I don't understand the answer. You said that each enjoys making concessions towards the other. Specifically the concessions. This is what I don't get. What concessions? What pleasure is there about making concessions? I can't even express the word. You have a piece of cake. And your kid comes up, sits next to you. To give him or not to give him? Happens every evening. They want my toast after they finished dinner. Happens every evening. So I give it? Sure, I do. You give it. Do you get pleasure from it? He's my son? Yeah, I give him. You're not giving me an answer. Yes, I get pleasure from it. So what do you want? Same towards your wife? No, it's not the same. Not the same, that's clear. So that's what I'm asking. Because bodily, corporeally, you feel that your son is closer to you than him. She's a grown-up, she's like this, she's like that, she'll get along. My child, he's mine. My wife, she's also mine, but it's something that's next to me. But he is truly mine. I identify with what you're saying. So, by correcting the love, we erase all of these distances. How do you define distances? A distance is when my desire is different than someone else's desire. When I feel my desire, and I don't really feel the other's desire. When my desire is more important than the other's desire. What does it say? Make your desire as his, so that he will make his desire like yours. This is the condition of love. And could you translate it into simple words? The connection of desires as one, that's called adhesion. Man and woman, divinity between them, as one body. Everything falls into place very simply. Only what's lacking is the education. You have to educate for love. Open courses for love. This is something that everyone's lacking, all of humanity. Until you learn how to come to it, everyone will be miserable. Say, if I open this kind of a course for love, I have to sell this course. I have to convince people to come. Yeah, but Nietzsche says everyone's looking. I know everyone's looking. And what's our show about? The search for love. Right, everyone's looking. But what's the... It's like many of your words are words that I find loss in them instead of gain. No, it only seems that way. We're lying to ourselves. It seems to us that we'll gain something. Who enjoys it? That he is in this lie, that he only wants to love himself, to fill himself, to exploit the other, his family. He enjoys. No, he doesn't. Does he reach love? He doesn't. He has another 20 women on the side. And it's also not about that. That's the animalistic level compared with love. You have to teach a person how to fill himself in the right way, eternal, whole, complete, perfect, and this can come only through love of others, because to the other you can always give and fulfill and constantly enjoy it and create this kind of a closed loop where it's constantly coming back to you. And by that, a person reaches the feeling of utter love, and eternal life. Furthermore, eternal life, because then he doesn't eat himself up or the environment, but on the contrary, he enlivens everyone through love and suddenly reaches a feeling that he's rising and rising and to the upper dimension. Upper dimension, eternal life, heaven, love in heaven, one and the same. So, there's no point in searching for love. You simply have to realize. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nietzsche. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, we're opening a course for love. All the best.